Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey guys, we're back. And this week with me, I have Chad Pollitt, and he is the VP of Marketing at Inpowered. Hey, Chad.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
It's going well. You are having some allergy issues, so just letting the audience know in case you start coughing a little too hard.
Yeah, that's what happens when you travel as much as I've had to travel here lately. It's you go from one environment to the next, and then next thing you know, smash, allergies.
Well, it's, you know, it gets the best of us. I've seen that you released a book on AI and marketing. Can you kind of give us an overview of your thoughts on that? Because those words are getting thrown around a lot lately. And I'm seeing more and more of these specialists on AI and marketing that don't really say anything wise.
Yeah, so here's the thing. AI in its most basic form, it's actually been in marketing for a little bit, a few years, maybe I think the first examples, maybe 2012, 2013, in the form of just RTB, real-time bidding, and things like that in paid media. And also with image identification and things like that. But here's the thing. So lots of people say they do AI, you know, a lot of not just people, but companies. And in its most basic form, they're not lying to you. They really do have a form of AI. It's just the question is, does the AI actually provide real value? Because in many cases, it doesn't. So, for example, being able to give me telling whether or not something's negative or positive in social media. I mean, how much value does that give? Well, maybe if you're a giant brand, it gives a lot of value. But if you're a 500-employee B2B shop, maybe you don't need to listen to social media constantly to see what people are saying about your brand. But on the flip side of that, you've got artificial intelligence solutions that provide lots of value. So, for example, being able to move a CPC, a cost per click, from, say, a dollar down to 12 cents – over time using machine learning. That's a value, right? Mm-hmm. Using artificial intelligence and analytics to look at the internet in three dimensions instead of the one dimensions we look at with our current analytics. That provides value. So you really got to dig in and find out whatever the technology is, if the AI actually provides value.
What do you mean by three dimensions in analytics?
So currently, the way most of us look at our analytics du jour, you know, generally GA, Google Analytics, the way those systems report is 1 degree away from your website. So if somebody from Facebook clicks on a link and goes to your website, you can go and see that, oh, somebody came from Facebook to my website. Now, that's 1 degree. That represents about 20% of the information that exists in your topical sphere of influence on the web, Okay. So basically your industry on the web, whether it be competitors, whether it be media outlets or whatever, talking about the topics that you do as a company. Okay. Now imagine if you had an analytics program that not only showed you that person came to you from Facebook, but showed you the website they came from to go to Facebook, and then the website before that they were at. That's 3 degrees of separation away from your website. What if you had that information on all of your traffic? That would open up nearly 100% of your topical sphere of influence in your analytics. So just imagine having 80% more data, accurate data, than what you have today. And that allows you to do a number of things. There's a lot of things you can do with that. So yeah, when you have that much data, you can there's things that you can uncover that you can't currently with, say, GA. So you can uncover the most efficient places to do paid media. You can discover new earned media opportunities. You can discover influencers and affiliates that are really successful in your industry that you may not have been aware of with that much data. And the way these solutions work with AI is they pull in lots of structured and unstructured data streams from not just normal analytics, but like maybe going to Twitter and paying them for their data and going to some other data aggregators, even to the point where you could go to ISPs themselves mm-hmm. and purchase data streams. And the idea of big data has been around for a long time, but it's really the AI that makes the big data digestible and helpful. Now, you've got two types of AI. You've got, well, really three: prescriptive and predictive, or a combination of the two. Okay. Most solutions today are what we call predictive, mm-hmm. meaning it looks at the data and gives you an output that you then have to make a decision on. Okay. So, for example, Salesforce has their Einstein AI, and Einstein will tell you, hey, this is the group of people you should send this email to at this time on this day. And then you have to decide if you want to do that or if you want to tweak it, so on and so forth. The other kind is prescriptive. So the solution actually tells you exactly what to do next with the data. So an example of that would be, well, where I work, for example, Empowered, our AI prescribes which native ad units are the ones that are going to be most successful and most efficient. And it's hands off. You don't have to do anything with it. It does it on its own.
Interesting. And the third one?
The third one is a combination of the two. So, for example, there's a company called Demand Jump that actually sponsored the book that I wrote. They do both. So their solution has both baked into it. And the reason being is because their solution tackles earned media, owned media, paid media. I mean, it does it all. So in some aspects, for example, the influencer marketing side of things, that's pretty predictive. But on some of the other things like the paid media and earned media, it's more prescriptive.
You mentioned prescriptive attribution and content intelligence in your book. Can mm-hmm. you explain those?
Yeah, so I'll start with content intelligence. What was the first one again?
Prescriptive attribution.
Yeah. Okay. So prescriptive attribution is merely a way for me to describe what I described earlier with mm-hmm. the 3 degrees of separation.
Got it.
Okay. So that's prescriptive attribution as opposed to the normal attribution that people think about. Okay. They came to my website from Facebook and They came a second time from Google and a third time from here and a fourth time from an AdWords unit, right? So that's the difference there. And the other one, content intelligence. So this is actually a very interesting emerging field. There's about, that I know of, there's about 15 vendors in the space. And there's different flavors of it. So, for example, SEMrush, Compendium, some of those SEO solutions mm-hmm. would probably tell you they provide some content intelligence solutions. And they do, but it's very specific for SEO.
Right.
And then you've got other solutions. So Scoop.it has a content intelligence solution called Hawkeye AI. You've got Brandon Anderson has his company. I just forgot the name. It'll come back to me.
Okay.
But what they do is they can, unlike Google Analytics, they look at the internet as a whole based on topics and content topics and keywords and things like that. So they're going to see your competitors report on the content from a macro level that they produce. So they can look at an entire blog and tell you, hey, what's been the most shared, what's been the most talked about, traveled, trafficked, so on and so forth. And then it can also go as far as to show you, hey, what topics in your industry are underserved? You know, what questions do people have that aren't being answered online? And those represent opportunities for you as a company to create content to fill those holes.
How do you feel AI is disrupting marketing, the stuff we've been doing for years?
So that's a great question. By the way, the company that I failed to remember, Brian Anderson's company, is Seralytics.
Seralytics.
I don't know the spelling off the top of my head, but if you type in content intelligence in Google, you'll see it towards the top. But anyways, so how is AI disrupting marketing? As of right now, I wouldn't say it's a big disruptor. Right now, we're in the beginning stages of what AI is going to become or what AI is going to provide us in terms of marketing. Currently, what AI is doing is just making life a little bit easier. I mean, the good AI, excuse me, mm-hmm. is making life a little bit easier for marketers, as well as, excuse me, making paid media a little bit cheaper, okay? Those are the two main benefits today. Because at the end of the day, there's three things that marketers do. And AI, there's not an AI solution that exists that do all three of the things that marketers do. So marketers are not in trouble of losing their jobs from AI anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. What do you think AI will become?
Oh, man. We could really go down the rabbit hole with that one.
Let's start the journey, though. I want to at least touch on it a little bit.
So, well, it depends on your way of thinking. So on the pessimist side, you could say that AI is going to become the first Terminator movie. So I think that's was it Elon Musk that was talking like that? It was one of those.
He's very pessimistic about it.
Yeah. But on the optimist side, AI really, at the end of the day, is just going to eliminate waste in marketing specifically. And there, if you think about it, there's a lot of waste. I mean, we create content because we think someone else wants to read it, right? Or watch it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's we can have a data-driven decision, but at the end of the day, it's still a decision based off of our own gut. But the more data you have and the more information you have to inform your decision, the better. Well, we'll get to a point where AI, prescriptive AI, just makes the decision for us. And through machine learning, that those decisions just get better and better and better and better over time. So it's going to help us eliminate the madman gut thought process in marketing that's existed for so long. And it's going to make us more efficient and eliminate waste.
Yeah, but I feel like we already do have some websites that help us figure out what people are asking, right? So we can answer those exact questions. So how would AI top that?
So what you're talking about is a predictive model.
Mm-hmm.
We still have to make decisions based on that data. It doesn't mean we're going to make the right decisions.
Right.
And excuse me. The prescriptive model makes the decisions for us and through machine learning gets smarter and smarter and smarter about it. And the difference between a predictive model and a prescriptive model or today versus where we're going is a human being only has the capacity to digest so much information. With the right algorithms, the right AI, the right machine learning, the right technology, it can digest big data. I mean, I'm talking big data,
right,
on scales that we've never even really comprehended. So that's really the advantage.
I feel even if it's prescribing things, as long as we have to do something, such as writing content or producing it, there's still the human error element, right? So unless AI actually does all of it for us, which then becomes a different question, right? Like, how much do we trust that AI, man? Maybe it's going off in some crazy rabbit hole.
Right.
But until it does that, like, we still have to do some work, right? So it's still a similar thing to what we have now, is that, you know, it's going to tell us sort of what people are looking for. Maybe it'll just add, like, okay, make sure you touch on these points because everyone wants to hear about these points or something. But it's still just helping. Right, it's not doing it for us. It's not like true AI that just takes over and just says, "Relax, buddy, I got this."
Yeah, for the most part, you're absolutely right. Now, I will say we're getting a little deeper down the rabbit hole today, and we'll get even deeper tomorrow because you've got, for example, the Washington Post. Mm-hmm. They have AI that actually writes articles for them.
I know. And I want the software so bad.
So, most of what they're doing, at least based on my research that I did months ago, is the stories that they do are through AI are mostly sports, just highlights of, say, the baseball game. Like,
right. I've seen that too.
This inning, this happened, and blah blah blah. But it's moving. It's happening. It's becoming a thing.
It's definitely getting there. Yeah, I looked at that too, and it was mostly for sports because all you need to do is change out the names, you know, because the other rules are the same, right? So this person did that. But it's still getting there, right? And it's hard to distinguish from a real writer. Like when I actually looked at the examples of the AI writing it and then some other sports guy, like, there's not much difference.
Right, right.
Which is scary.
Absolutely.
But it's also great.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bold new world we're in. And I'll tell you, so I sit on the advisory board for a company called AdHive.
Mm-hmm.
They're an influencer marketing blockchain company.
What is that? That sounds like, I don't know. It's when you say blockchain, I'm just like, what?
So they've combined AI and blockchain technology to empower their solution. And so what they do is they connect video influencers with brands to do influencer marketing campaigns. And the financial transactions are all done through their cryptocurrency on their blockchain. And the reason that's an advantage is because blockchain technology is an open public ledger.
Right.
Okay. And every thing that's done on the blockchain is tracked and verifiable. So it's the decentralization of information. So currently, if you go to, say, BuzzSumo, which is an influencer marketing company, they do not have their data decentralized. All the transactions and things that happen through BuzzSumo, all the clicks, all the searches, all the research is all housed in BuzzSumo. Mm-hmm. But with AdHive, they're on the blockchain. Anybody can access the ledger. It's public. So what that does is that gives a level of transparency to both the influencers and the brands, as well as AdHive, the company, and eliminates fraud, waste, and abuse. And that's the beauty of blockchain technology. But they also have a layer of AI over that as well that gets predictive with what influencers are going to be the best for your brand and why.
That is interesting. Tell me about the company that you work for. I've looked on the website since we've been speaking, and the mission is to make people better informed and more influential. What does that really mean? What do you guys actually do?
So Inpowered is, from a technical perspective, from an industry perspective, I put air quotes up there. We are a demand supply platform for native advertising, mm-hmm. or a DS or DSP. So basically, the way we work is we are connected, or we're a layer of technology that sits above almost 40 native advertising and social media platforms. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you can go into our technology and you can set up a campaign that runs on Outbrain, Taboola, Nativo, Facebook, Instagram, so on and so on and so on and so on. I mean, pretty much you name the native platform, we plug into it. And what our technology does is our AI actually it creates – so from one ad, it can create 1,000 permutations of an ad. So imagine – so A-B testing. You've got an A version and a B version. Well, we'll create 1,000 of those, okay? And then we'll blast them out on those native networks and social networks. And then our AI kicks in and starts to pull the ones that are underperforming or are too costly until we get it down to, say, 20 permutations of that particular native ad unit that are running for pennies on the dollar. And then what we do is we then take that, go back to the client, and we say, listen, we're going to charge you not based on clicks, but we're going to charge you based on engagement. So unless someone engages for 15 seconds or longer with your content, we're not going to charge you a penny. And we eat that. Okay. Right. But our AI is so good that we can actually do that in a profitable way. So we might start off with a dollar cost per engagement. And over the course of a month to 2 months, we could get that down to 40 cents. And then we take that savings, put it back into the system, and then the customer gets more engagement. So we could start off with maybe 100,000 engagements the first month, but for that same budget, be at 150,000 engagements the next month. And that's, in a nutshell, what we do. And it's very, very valuable, especially for content marketers that want to distribute their content at scale.
So what you do is basically what a good ad manager would do, but just at scale, right? They will figure out how to get the best performing ad at the lowest cost and at the best engagement. But it seems like this is more directed to big companies, right? Because you to make 1,000 variations, you need a pretty big budget for it to make sense.
Yeah, so that's true. So the more you put into it. So it's the key word to machine learning is learning, mm-hmm. and it does take a pretty decent budget to get those learnings going up or getting to where they need to be to for this system to work the way it does. So we work with a lot of very, very large brands.
Yeah, it seems like that. Is it possible to take the winners, everything that it learned from a big company, and maybe throw it into with a smaller business and just kind of go off of that? Or do you still got to relearn every time?
So currently we're relearning every time, but we have in our roadmap what you just described. So creating vertical learnings that are static. So we can take – so if you're a smaller company in the same industry as, say, this big company that we've learned all this stuff from working with, we'll then be able to apply those learnings directly from the start of a smaller company's campaign. We're not there yet, but it's definitely on the roadmap.
Yeah, it seems like something that should happen, especially with something like Motorola, right? So if you figured out exactly where to produce content for who and, you know, how to get the engagement. So if new phone company from, let's say, Sweden or somewhere came in with a pretty decent budget and said, look, like, start us off right then, like, why relearn all this stuff? Like, well, you know, like, it should just happen. It just feels like it should happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, this is, we've been talking about this. It's definitely in the works. Our engineers, they're out in San Francisco. They're busting their butts every day, trying to make this solution the best in the world that it can be.
Very cool. Chet, thank you for coming on. And where can people find you?
So I can be found at on Twitter at Chad Pollitt. That's P-O-L-L-I-T-T. I can be found at chadpollitt.com. I can also be found on inpowered.com, but that's I-N-P-W-R-D.com. By the way, my new book on everything you need to know about marketing analytics and artificial intelligence is available for free on chadpollitt.com. Just so your listeners know, I actually got the former CMO of Walmart, Julie Lyle, to write the foreword for the book. So that was pretty exciting for me. So yeah, go hit me up on Twitter. I'll connect back. Hit me up on my website. Feel free to download the free book. By the way, I've got like six other books on there you can download too on native advertising and inbound marketing.
Awesome. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebel. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.